Pastor Todd has been speaking to us over the last month or so on righteousness. Amen. You guys remember that? Righteousness. Telling us about our righteousness in Jesus. I want to talk to you about the benefits of righteousness and what that leads to. So we want to open up with Isaiah 53, chapter 53. And those first 4 or 5 verses, I'm going to get Mike to read. Mike Dove to read for us, and Pastor Todd read in Galatians a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to get him probably to read a couple of those scriptures, and so anyway, go ahead, Mike, take it away, Mike.
Amplified?
No, King James. Give us a King James, if you have that.
Yeah. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. The prophet there, the writer Isaiah, wanted to make it clear. He says, I want to know who believes this report that Jesus, in that day, the people thought that he was stricken, that he was hung on a cross and punished because of his iniquities. Because of his transgressions. But the writer wanted us to know, no, it was for our transgressions, our sins. And he says, who believes this report? You see, transgressions are a set of rules, a set of laws. And transgressions is when you break those rules. You can't keep those rules. You ignore those rules. And it said he was wounded for our transgressions. Then it said he was bruised for our iniquities. Well, iniquities is when you are hurt. You hurt somebody or somebody hurts you. Intentionally or unintentionally. The circumstances of life injure you, bruise you, hurt you. And then the last thing it said was, for the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know the things that just bug you like a gnat flying around your head? The things that just annoy you, get on your nerves, takes your peace away. He said he died for all three of those. For when the rules are broken, for when we're wounded or we wound someone else, and when we lose our peace. He says, who believes this report? I want to know who believes this report, that he did it not for himself, but for us. That's what the writer is talking about there. So we're going to go to Galatians. And this is the passage of scripture that Pastor Todd read maybe a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it's 2 Sundays or 3 Sundays ago. And this is Galatians 1 through 14. But I want Pastor to do something different today. If you would read the first 3 verses there, Pastor, then I'm gonna shock everybody awake. Okay.
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Okay. Can I Americanize this scripture for us? Yeah, would y'all like me to do that?
Yes.
See, the Israelites were given the law by Moses and God on Mount Sinai. But can I Americanize this for us? Pastor Todd, could you read that scripture again, and could you put, instead of the law, say the Ten Commandments?
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the Ten Commandments, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Could you go on to the next few and read Ten Commandments also?
Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by it the works of the Ten Commandments, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the Ten Commandments are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, or the book of the Ten Commandments to do them. But that no man is justified by the Ten Commandments in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the Ten Commandments is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the Ten Commandments, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto.
Praise God. Did you hear that? The Jews call it the law, but we know it as the Ten Commandments. Have you ever heard that? We read it all the time. Have you ever heard that? He said, you know what? You got saved and born again through believing in what Jesus had done that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 53. But he says, now you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments to get the blessings of God? He said, have you been hypnotized? Are you under a spell? No man can keep the Ten Commandments. Well, why did he give it? To teach them that they couldn't keep it. That they had to rely on someone else. God himself. He was the sacrifice. Under the Ten Commandments, under the law, they kept sacrificing animals and sacrificing animals for everything they did wrong. Jesus stepped in with one sacrifice once and for all of us. And he said, all you had to do was believe like Abraham. Whew. That's a whole sermon in itself. He said, did you receive the Spirit by the Ten Commandments or by faith? He went on and he said, those who minister the Holy Spirit to you, do they do it by the Ten Commandments or by faith? And then he said, those that believe like Abraham did, just believe what God had done and trust and receive that, you get the blessings of Abraham. Guess what the blessings of Abraham is? They are the inheritance that God promised Abraham now comes to those who are his children, and the people who are his children are the ones that believe just like him. What was the blessings? Everything he touched prospered. Everywhere he went, people around him prospered. His children prospered. That's the blessings. Praise God. The blessings of Abraham. What is verse 14? Could you read that, Pastor? 14.
That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
You know what the blessing is? You know what brings the blessing? Anybody? He gave him the Spirit of God. He gave him the Holy Spirit. Abraham wasn't doing it by himself. He gave him the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of Abraham. Praise God. Would you guys like to see that again in another scripture? Let's have another testimony of that. We're going to look at prayer. We're going to look at Luke, the 11th chapter. How about that? And this is another shock treatment for you guys. Okay? All right. Y'all ready? Okay. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. But before we get to the Lord's Prayer, I want to tell you about something I heard about a camper. You guys hear this story about the camper? Dusty, did you hear this story? You didn't? Okay. It was this camper. He and his brother, they love to camp. They love to fish. They love the outdoors. Well, this brother, this camper, he had been wanting to go camping for just a long time. And finally, the weekend was going to be great. And he had packed all of his stuff and his backpack and his tents and everything. And he had gone out and he had camped the whole weekend. It was beautiful. He fished. He sat by the campfire. He played his harmonica and his guitar. And he had just a wonderful time. And just as he was packing up everything and got everything packed, a ferocious grizzly bear showed up in camp. A huge grizzly bear. And the camper started to panic. And the bear was aggressive, and the camper started running. He ran for several hundred yards over rocks, and he was scraped and bruised and battered, and the bear was hot on his trail, and he could barely make it. And finally, he just decided, I'm just going to fall on my knees and pray. So he fell on his knees, and he began to pray. He says, Lord God, help me. Help me, Lord. Lord, you know what? Lord, I pray that this bear is a Christian. And he just let this bear be a Christian, Lord, please. Please let this bear be a Christian. And so he's on his knees, and finally he opened his eyes, and he looked to his right, and the bear was there a few yards away. And sure enough, that bear was on his knees. And he had his two front paws together, and he was praying. And that camper went, whew. He got up, and he got a little closer to the bear, and he heard the bear say, Oh, Father. Thank you for this food I'm about to receive for the nourishment of my body in Jesus' name. Dusty, sometimes the bear wins and sometimes the camper wins. Yeah. All right, that wasn't the shock treatment. Luke 11. You guys having fun? We should have fun in church. So this is Luke 11. Famous passage of scripture. You guys want the shock treatment now? What do we call this? What do we call it? Oh, don't be shy. What do we call it? You know what? This is not the Lord's Prayer. Well, bless God, it is. This is not the prayer. This is the outline for the prayer. Woo! Really? You know, when I was in school and we had to write a paper, the teacher would sometimes ask you to give them an outline of what you're going to be writing a paper on first, sometimes. That's what this is. It's an outline to prayer. It's not the prayer. So one of the disciples saw Jesus praying. I guess it clicked in his mind. Hey, you know what? These things are happening because he's praying. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So, and you can tell it's an outline to prayer because of what he said after these first four verses that we're used to, that we use as the Lord's Prayer. So the outline was, you need to worship. You need to talk about the kingdom. You need to talk about the bread. And you need to talk about forgiveness. Father, we just thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you that, Lord, you're the Lord God full of compassion, full of mercy. You've strewn the stars in the sky. You told the sun where to stand in the morning. You told the oceans they could only come this far. You told the moon where to hide in the evening. You established the seasons. There's nobody like you. You're great and awesome. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. He said, begin by worshiping, because God inhabits the praises and the worship of his saints. Look at the second thing he said. He said, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Whew. You know, most religion teaches you that you're going to enter the kingdom once you die. Jesus told them the kingdom is here. Listen to what he said. He said, you need to pray that whatever your situation is, whatever it's like in heaven, that's what you want to manifest here on earth. If the dead are raised in heaven, then the dead must be manifest and raised here in earth. Are people sick in heaven? Are people poor in heaven? Are people brokenhearted in heaven? They're just the opposite. So he's saying, beseech the Lord that the manifestations that are in heaven would be present now. Check this one out. The next one was bread. He said, give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. This is not Wonder Bread, Merida, Sunbeam. You get the picture here? This is not eggs and bacon. Oh, Lord, give us what we need today to eat. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the bread of God's presence. Because if you have the bread of God's presence, you can have the manifestation of heaven here on earth. I want to spend a little time on this next one. Because righteous people, this is how righteous people are hindered. The last one was forgiveness. Lord, forgive me as I forgive those. Forgive as I forgive those who have hurt me. Forgive me. You know, life, you know, people, when people get hurt, they think that they're the only person that's been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. That's life. It's how you respond to it. It's your attitude towards it. I don't know. You guys who have been here a long time would remember Cole Stringer, and he's from Alaska. He's from Australia. He's the original Crocodile Dundee that they made the movie after. And Cole Stringer came here one time, and he talked about how they capture monkeys in Indonesia and Malaysia and places like that where they eat monkey meat. And he said they build these large cages and they pin them down to the ground. And they put fake bananas in them, tie them to the top of the cage, and the monkeys would see the, you know, the monkeys could see them setting the cages up, but the intrigue to have that banana was so overwhelming. The monkeys would come down, they would stick their hands in the bar and grab that banana that was tied to the top of the cage, stick their hands in, grab the banana, but with their fists closed, they couldn't get their hand out of the bars. And they would just yank and yank and yank. They wouldn't let the banana go. The guys who were coming to kill the monkeys would come with clubs. And the guys with the clubs would come close to the monkeys. And the monkeys are screaming and baring their teeth and growling. But they wouldn't let the banana go. It's called a bait stick. The bait stick for you is not the same bait stick would be used for me. The devil, he knows what kind of bait Gene would go for and what kind of bait I would go for and what kind of bait Pastor would go for. The bait stick is, my words, is specialized for you to capture you. You understand what I'm saying? It's a setup. Remember Jesus said, he said, offenses in this world, they're due to come. It's how you handle them. Here's Peter. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. My God, that's every three minutes during the day. Ugh. Those monkeys would not let it go. Rehearse it in their minds. Somebody's hurt you. You've been broken. You've been abandoned. You've been abused. You've been raped. You've been humiliated. You've been shamed. And it hurts. Everybody, listen. Everybody has had a hurt. It's how you deal with it. The only thing that blocks you from receiving the blessings of Abraham, which is the Holy Spirit. I'll just tell you that now. How do you know? Go on to the rest of what Jesus gives this outline for prayer, and then he gives a parable, actually two parables. This is the same conversation. He opens his eyes after he's praying and he says, which of you having a neighbor or a friend to come to you at an inopportune time and you didn't have anything to put before him, but you had a friend that you can go to, somebody that you had a relationship with that you knew that you can trust that you can get bread from them? See, because when travelers came in those days, you know, they would feed them bread and wine to refresh them. Bread is the staff of life. It is the main in, what do I have that word, Michael? The staple, mainstay or staple of life. Listen, in those days, not like these days, because what we do with bread in these days, we make bread and then we bleach all of the nutrients out of it. It was the mainstay of life in those days because it had all of the vitamins and everything in it. Nowadays, we bleach it out and then we say, fortified with vitamin D. We put vitamin C back in it. You bleached it out. But in those days, when somebody came, they gave them hot bread or they gave them bread and then they gave them a little wine to refresh them. And he's saying to them, at an inopportune time. Listen, we always have inopportune times when stuff comes up and we need this bread of refreshing. So he's saying, people that you come across, They all need refreshing. They all need bread. And he said, so you go to your friend that you have a relationship with, and you knock on the door, and they said, oh, I'm not getting up. It's late at night. We're in here with our children, and we're not moving. And you keep knocking, and you keep asking, and you keep seeking. Basically, the real translation says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. What does that mean? Every day, every minute, ask for the bread that sustains life. What is it? Is it regular bread that he's talking about that we eat in our bodies? No. He's talking about the bread of God's presence. How do you know it's the bread of God's presence? Because the next parable explains that one. It says, which of you being a father and your son ask you for a fish or an egg, that you would give him something bad, a scorpion or a rock or whatever? He says, no. He said, you'd give him something good. And then he explains what it is. He said, how much more does the Father want to give you the Holy Spirit? That's at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, that's what the prayer is about. That you would receive the Holy Spirit, the blessing of Abraham, over and over and over flowing. So that it doesn't look like you anymore. So that the manifestations that you get, they said, that's not Pastor, that's not Todd Hallinan, that's not Gene Smith, that's not Roger Clay. Overflowing. Overflowing. Listen. He said, you being evil, or of this world, of this flesh, that's what he's talking about. You just being earthly, you know how to spoil your children. How much more does God want to spoil you, them who ask for the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine being spoiled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I have two granddaughters. I got four kids. And my wife says, your kids sometimes, just my, they're my kids, when something's going on. She said, your kids, oh, Lord, I know I got to deal with a situation. But I got two granddaughters. Jaden, you guys have seen Jaden grow up in this church. Jaden is like 5'10 now. My little granddaughter. Okay? And then I have a four-month-old, Marcus and Julie had a little girl, Zuri. And listen, I can't wait to get my hands on them, especially that little wiggly one. You guys, Dusty, you know how it is with Cassie and Kayla and Caleb. You know how it is? Boy, you want to spoil them. You're not supposed to, but I just like, Jaden comes to me, she says, Papa, Mama says that I can't do such and such a thing. And Gigi says, there's such and such a thing. What do you say? I said, let me close the door. She says, I said, now, you know, we can't be going against what they say, but we're going to find a way. Let's close the door. Let's close the door. She said, what do you say, Papa? Gigi says, I don't need any Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Don't listen to, Gigi is right, but but I'm going in here, get me a cone of Ben and Jerry's. What do you say? I'm going with you, Papa. And Charlene holler from the truck, y'all don't need no ice cream. It's just between us. You don't want any, you sit in the truck. We're going to get ice cream. Listen, that's grandparents' job. Man, I can't wait. You know, you didn't let us do that, Dad. That's not my job. My job is to spoil on this side. You do the correction and stuff. I tell Jaden, I say, if you get caught, it's on you. You get caught, it's on you. But, you know, hey, let me tell you how. Mike knows. Mike Lee and I coach together. Dusty, you know Dusty. Dusty, you know how it is. Parents come to the game. I don't care how many kids either football, there's 22 kids out there, they only watch their kid. You know, I mean, it's basketball, they only watch their kid. Kid may be terrible. Kid can't chew bubble gum and dribble at the same time, but their kid is wonderful. Come on. We love our kids. And we spoil them. I can't wait to spoil that little wiggly one. Get my hands on her. Margaret says, don't be kissing all over her. Dad, we trying to keep her not catch colds. I said, ugh. And they sneak out the room. I sneak a kiss. What y'all laughing at? Y'all grandparents know. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He said, how much more does God want to spoil his children? Overwhelmed. Overflowing with God. You don't have to worry about being a witness then. Remember in Acts, the first chapter? Jesus told his disciples when he went away, he says, don't you go try to do anything until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to get hurt. Wait until you're endued with power. He tried to explain to them, be filled, be filled, be filled. Because you know what? I was in the refrigerator and I was getting some punch. This punch that my wife buys me. And I find myself in there drinking it all the time. And I went in and I wasn't paying attention. And I kept pouring and kept pouring. All of a sudden I felt, whoa, my feet are wet. What's I overflowed the glass. Bless my heart. Oh, you overflow. How about if you're overflowing with God's presence? Overwhelm me. Overwhelm me with your love, your mercy and grace. Overtake me, overtake my heart and mind. Exceed my imagination, say, overwhelm me. Overwhelm me with your love, your mercy and grace. Overtake me, overtake my heart and mind. Exceed my imagination more than we could ever ask or think. More than we could ever ask or think. Overflow, overflow, overflow. You're my Lord forever. My God, my El Shaddai. You're my Lord forever. You will supply, you will supply, you will supply El Shaddai. Overflow. Overflow. Now let me show you guys some examples of that. So we're going to turn to Matthew. Actually, it's in Matthew, the 14th chapter. It's also in Mark, the 6th chapter, and John, the 6th chapter. But we're going to start with, we're going to stick mainly with Matthew, the 14th chapter. And we're going to read the 15th verse. And then we're going to skip to 22 through, I got 36. But how you guys doing? Who's believed this report? Who's believed this report? Oh, let me hear you. Who's believed this report? All right. This is the story about, you know, Jesus. John the Baptist had gotten beheaded. Herod had put him in prison. And he had been beheaded, and they came and told Jesus. Jesus wanted to get away. You know, this is his cousin. This is his first cousin. He's upset, yes, but he goes away. He goes away. Anyway, he crosses over Sea of Galilee. also called the Sea of Tiberias. Okay? And he's over here, he's fed the 5,000, right?
Fed the 5,000.
And so it's getting late. And he tells the disciples, okay, anyway, let's read the story and then I'll tell you what we're going to do.
And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." And in 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole.
Praise God. Okay, so this is a story where Jesus has sent the disciples. He says, "Hey, you guys go across, and I'm going to go up here, and I'm going to pray in the mountains." So, and the disciples decided that they got in the boat, and they were going to row across. And Jesus said, "I'll send the crowd, or I'll send the people away." It was getting, you know, it was getting dark, and they had fed them. And so what I want you to know first is this is the Sea of Galilee. Just that little oval there. And so he puts his disciples in the boat. And from across from where they were going, this is Capernaum and Nazareth and everything up here on the northeastern side. And they were, you know, they were down here. and the distance that they had to travel across this lake was 8 miles. 8 miles, okay? 8 miles, that's about 2 hours of rowing or sailing time. Okay? Okay. Here's some facts about this lake, the sea. So it's 8 miles across. And on this eastern side, they had a bunch of high mountains. And those mountains stretched from the northeast side around over here. And on this side, the bottom side, was the Decapolis. And the Decapolis was the 10 cities. You know, you heard about the demon of Gadara, right? Some of those cities, well, a lot of those, you know, I'm finding out that where Gadara was, it really wasn't in Israel, it was in Jordan. So some of those cities were in Jordan, some of them were in Israel. And then you had the Jordan River running right down from the Sea of Galilee, okay? So on that side was another country. Israel was on this side, okay? Okay, another fact about this lake, sea, I call it a lake sometimes. It's a Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. They use both names. Is that these mountains over here, the prevailing wind and the storms always came from the eastern side coming this way. And those mountains were high and those storms would blow in violently upon this lake because they would the high winds up here and they would drop down over that lake where the hot moisture is and it would cause storms all the time. So those storms would blow in suddenly, okay? And here are some of the legends. Here's one of the main legends that affects this story. The people who lived around this sea, and especially the fishermen, remember there's four fishermen on this boat, Peter Andrew, James, and John, professional fishermen. All of them probably have fished it sometime or another, but it's a fishing community because that's what they did. And so here's the legend. They believe that sometimes in this lake, like at night or whatever, they have ghosts or spirits come up and they get people. That's the simplest way I can say it to you. They have spirits there and they say, hey, you know, they live in this lake and stuff. You know, these superstitious people too. Okay? Okay, so Jesus has sent them across and they leave about 6 in the evening. Okay? It's 6 or 7 in the evening. And it said that he went up into a mountain to pray. Right? And it said it came to them, he came to them in what watch of the night, Mike?
He came to them in the fourth watch.
He sent them off. It's a 2-hour tour. They've been rowing for 9 hours. You with me? It's not looking good. And so you go to one of the other versions, either maybe John, the book John, the 6th chapter, and it says they're out about 3 miles. They got 5 to go, and it's not looking good. They're not going anywhere, hardly. Most of that 3 miles was probably covered before the storm blew in. So they look up, and walking across the water comes a being. 4 fishermen, professional fishermen in the boat. And 2 of those 4 fishermen are as big as Gene Smith. How do you know? Because James and John were known as Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. They were big boys. Okay? You had 12 Jewish men in the boat, 2 of them big guys, and they screamed like little girls. It's a spirit! It's a ghost! It's a ghost! You know, men are allowed to scream one time a year like a little girl, but you got 12 guys screaming at the same time. You know, of course, you know, I mean, you had a tax collector and a few other people there, but when the 4 fishermen scream out, that would make the other guys scream out, you know what I'm saying? Because they used to be in on the lake. So here they are, and they're screaming out, it's a ghost! It's a ghost! And they panic, right? And so Jesus is, they are moving in liquid. Well, they were supposed to be moving in liquid. Jesus comes walking across like it's this concrete floor with carpet on it. John's version, in the book of John, in the 6th chapter, it says, and it looked like he was going to go past us until they said something. Okay? Now, and they said it's a ghost, and Jesus finally says, no, don't be afraid, don't be alarmed, it is I, it's me. Now, after he says that, obviously, in verse 28, could you read that verse, Mike?
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto you on the water.
Do you guys see that scripture? I don't know what you guys do with scripture sometimes. Obviously, there was still some doubt whether it was Jesus. Okay? Okay? And the other 11 guys are like, he said, if it's you. So they weren't exactly sure. So Peter says, if it's you, bid me come to you. And he says, come. Right? This is 11 Jewish guys. I like to play with the scriptures sometimes. So in my mind, I said, what about this? If this is 12 Mexican guys. Hey, Jose. Hey, Jose, see, what if it's not Jesus? If it is Fernando, if it is not Jesus, you are going to see 11 Latinos run for the shore like you have never seen before. I was thinking, if this is 11 guys and me from my old neighborhood, you would not be able to put the language in that Bible. Not only that, we would have run and caught those Latino guys about 5 or 10 minutes out and got to the shore 20 minutes faster than them. And, you know, we'd have said, what took you guys so long? We've been here 20 minutes. Where's Paco? Where's Paco? Oh, Paco is no longer with us. We will tell his mama he was a hero. Oh, man, Paco's gone. Paco's gone. They didn't even, they were doubting. You can see the 11 guys standing there going, Peter gets out of the boat and they're going, just hold on, John. It might not be Jesus. Can you imagine if this is Gene, Saul Boskin, Mike Lee, and Dusty? I could see Gene saying, Dusty, go see if it's Jesus. And, you know, Dusty, why me? I could see Mike and them saying, I think it's a good idea. You should go see if it's Jesus. What about if it's not Jesus? We're going to catch those black guys and those Latino guys. But anyway, praise God. Check this out. Look, I'm looking at this scripture and it says that Peter gets out of the boat that's on liquid, rocking back and forth. Well, first of all, the wind is, this is gale force winds. And guess what? Anybody own a boat? You ever been in the boat on the lake or something like that and you turn the motor, you know, when you're fishing, what's the little motor? You turn the troll motor off and you turn the other motor off and you don't do anything. What happens to the boat? It does what? Come on, people that own a boat. The boat, oh my God. What happens to the boat? It does what? Where does it go? Thank you. Oh my God, we should take their boat away. The boat drifts with the current. This is a wind. The wind would be the boat rocks. So the boat is going to move. Listen, this whole scenario here, the boat is standing still. I'm going, what? How do you know it's standing still? Because he's having a conversation. They're seeing what's going on. They would have been 100 yards away from them. The boat is standing still. It's in liquid. It's not moving anywhere. Peter is out of the boat. He went from floating on liquids to standing on water like it's concrete. He walks to Jesus, looks at the wind. Jesus is just standing there. And then when he panics, he starts to sink. And Jesus picks him up. And then they both walk back like it's concrete. They get in the boat. And they all come to Jesus and start to worship him. Guess what John's version says? When they get in the boat, immediately they're on the other shore. What? What? Are you guys reading this? I'm amazed at Mark's version. Because Mark, John Mark, was the protege of Peter. In other words, Peter was his father in the faith, in a sense. Right? John Mark went around with Peter. And I'm surprised that Peter never got back in the boat and said, I walked on water, man. He didn't say anything about it. John Mark never said, they never asked Peter, how did it feel to walk on the water? Nobody said a word. It wasn't even important. But I noticed because Jesus was up there praying, look at this manifestation. Then he goes to the other side and everybody who touches him gets healed. What kind of storms blow up in your life all of a sudden that God can't take care of? Who believes this report? You know, storms that blow up where somebody passes away and breaks your heart, where somebody hurts you. The devil designs temptations. The devil designs stuff to hurt people specifically. you know, your property gets destroyed. You lose a loved one. Someone does something to your child or to you. You're lonely. What kind of storms blow up every day? A bill, all of a sudden a bill comes. Storms blow up in our lives all the time. Designed just for us. But guess what God has designed? The bread of his presence. The blessings of Abraham. Whew. Okay, we've been going a long time here. So, some of you guys know my friend Dwight. We've grown up together since we were little kids and we came to Virginia Tech together. He's played his saxophone, right? Right? Remember Dwight? Okay. Dwight worked for, I won't say the name of the railroad, but he worked for the railroad. He was a claims agent, a very good one. He worked on a lot of their big cases. The guy who was the head boss of all of the division where he worked. You know, there's two parts to a donkey. There's the parts that have the ears, and then there's the other part. He was the other part. Okay? And he treated Dwight like that. He treated a lot of people like that. And Dwight worked for 30 years there. They did not give him one promotion. Not one. And I'm telling you, when you saw major accidents on the news, train accidents, where it killed hundreds of people, all kinds of stuff, he was the head claims person on that. He settled huge court cases. Not one promotion. Not one raise. He went to the Lord about it. Lord said, I didn't set you there to be rich. I set you there for people. He stayed. So in his office one day after the Lord had said that to him, came a knock at his door. It was the second guy that was in charge of this whole facility. He came in and said, I need to talk to you, Dwight. And he closed the door. And he burst in tears and he said, my wife and I just had a baby. And it's a preemie. And he said, he held the baby in one hand. He said, would you come and pray for my baby? I've seen what you've done around here. Dwight said, sure. So after work one day, that day, they went to the hospital. Now, Dwight said, you know, where they keep preemies and babies like that, the nurses in there are like military people. They don't play. They gave that baby no chance to live. They saw him come in. Of course, he had his pastor credentials on. And then he had his Bible with him. So if there was any question, they let clergy in. So he came in. They saw him with the father. And he came in. And it was like four or five nurses in there. As soon as they came in, their eyes were on Dwight. Like, oh, no, come on. He went over. And they saw him with the father, so they were kind of a little bit at ease. But every nurse in there stopped, and they just watched. And Dwight went over to the glass enclosure that the preemie was in. A preemie is a premature baby. And he said, I just stood there, and I waited on the Lord. I waited on the Holy Spirit. Finally, he says, I felt the Spirit of God come on me so heavy, and I raised my hands over that glass enclosure. And he began to pray and said, you will live and not die. And from this moment on, I'm dispatching an angel over you to watch over you. That young lady is 18 now. That man came in 3 years later. He had another preemie, and Dwight did the same thing. And that baby is healthy. When he finished praying, those nurses looked at him and they went, What kind of storms blow up in your life that the Spirit of God can't handle? That if you're full of God's life, you can make the difference. You can make the difference. Mike, go ahead and read Ephesians, and we're going to close up here. You read Ephesians, the first chapter. I think it's first, is it 9 through 20 or something like that? Or 20?
9 through 23.
Okay. Let's read that. And hey, Marilyn, could you come up, Marilyn?
Ready? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all.
Praise God. That prayer was that you might become aware of the riches of God's presence, the riches of God's wisdom and understanding. How many times do you ask, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit? Every day, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on knocking. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving this prayer spot until you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, 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 my relatives need your Holy Spirit. My grandchildren need your Holy Spirit. Father, I need the bread of your presence. I need the bread of your presence. Lord, don't ignore me. Lord, my family needs your presence. Lord, my country needs your presence. Lord, my president needs your presence. Lord, Lord, my co-workers, they need your presence. I know you're in there. I need this bread. Praise God.